Hello, this is Stephanie bringing you the Elevate broadsheet for June and bringing you colour and inspiration wherever you are. And on the front page, it's me, Stephanie, and I have a photograph of a beautiful pink rose that's in my garden. And I begin with an extract from a poem called All in June by W.H. Davies. Today, the fields are rich in grass, and buttercups in thousands grow. I'll show the world where I have been, with gold dust seen on either shoe. Buttercups in the fields and roses in the garden. The air is fragrant in June. The rose is the flower for the month and adds to the magic of midsummer. A rose picked on Midsummer's Eve or Midsummer's Day will keep fresh until Christmas. And at midnight on Midsummer's Eve, young girls should scatter rose petals before them and say, "Rose leaves, rose leaves, rose leaves I strew. He that will love me, come after me now." In Victorian times, a lover might declare his passion by presenting a red rosebud just beginning to open. If this was accepted and worn, he could safely assume his attentions were welcome and follow up his first gift with a half-blown rose, and then that with a full-blown one. If a Victorian woman wore the last, she was considered engaged. And Cleopatra met Mark Antony, her lover, in 42 BC in a room carpeted 2 feet deep with roses. For the Romans, it was the flower of beauty, love, and poetry, and dedicated to Venus, god of love. Medieval knights wore roses embroidered on their sleeves as a sign that gentleness should accompany courage, and that beauty is the true reward of valour. And as an expression, calm weather in June sets all in tune. Wishing you roses, buttercups, and midsummer magic wherever you are. And our centre page this month is written by Hannah from her off-grid small holding. And Hannah writes, "As I write this, wrapped in a woolly scarf and jumper, it's hard to believe that we are nearing the summer solstice. Perhaps in the UK, and particularly amongst growers, we are inclined to bemoan the weather each year. However, this year has undoubtedly been beset with extraordinary weather challenges. A dry April with hot days combined with cold nights, the frostiest April in 60 years apparently, meant seedlings remained unusually pot-bound, while potatoes and brave tomato plants managed to cling on, fleeced, and the latter sealed inside the polytunnel. Even shrubs and perennial flowers have suffered this year. Despite these challenges, the process of home produce and living in connection with the changing weathers is rewarding. I imagine that we will need to become even more resourceful, responsive, and creative in years to come. And I take comfort in the growing ecological interest and awareness. This year, I have been particularly struck by the many wildflower areas emerging in public and private areas, both rural and urban. At our own small holding, we have devoted approximately 1 acre of field, small parts of the garden and a bank outside our home to the growing trend of rewilding. Our wildflower project has evolved over 3 years. Each year we scythe and remove the tall flowers and grasses in late summer, aiming to keep the soil fertility low and allow light for seeds to germinate. In our first 2 years, there was much bramble and bracken to clear, but this is lessening while the flowers increase. The bracken still needs to be tackled even when the flowers are peaking in the summer at the expense of some of the red campions. We are fortunate that our largest wildflower area, a north-facing sloped meadow, seems to be thriving. Early purple and pyramid orchids give immense joy each year and extend the wildflower months as they span May to July. As an off-grid home, we have no choice but to respond and adapt to the weather. This year we have used every scrap of seasoned wood for fuel, and extra wood stores are already being made for next year, whilst improving insulation is a constant quest. The 5th of June was World Environment Day, and perhaps you marked this in your own way. Personally, I tried a Wi-Fi free day, a challenge, but it was possible. And this morning I picked garden flowers to have at our breakfast table. And now, time to switch off the computer and tend to the seedlings. And Hannah has a lovely photograph of her wildflower meadow full of buttercups and red campion, and a photograph of her breakfast on the table outside with bunches of flowers picked from the garden. And on the same page, we have a poem by Fiona Lockwood called Summer Romance. June, June, you make me swoon. I cannot wait to see you. And when I do, the skies are blue and days just last forever. What beauty you portray. What sunny disposition. Weaving through the meadow flowers, which bloom with adoration, the skylark serenades you with lightness of the heart. And the sweetest summer fragrance fills the air where butterflies dance. June, June, don't leave too soon. Let time expand this heaven. But when you do, I'll hold you dear in yearly anticipation. Lovely. And on our final page, David Davies is writing about World Oceans Day. David says, World Oceans Day is celebrated this June with numerous speakers, musicians and artists all available online. Our ocean covers over 70% of the planet, provides 80% of the world's biodiversity and feeds billions of people. Our need to conserve our wonderful marine resources to protect our planet is as important as ever. With summer now with us, I'm reminded of seaside visits and holidays and how gazing out onto oceans or swimming on the edge of them can restore our sense of well-being. Sailors will tell you that when they are on the ocean, they leave the land part of their life behind. They feel they become part of one vast thing, part of a complete ebb and flow, where experiences are magnified and where, seeing the bigger picture, a sort of wholeness becomes clearer. And there's a little quote from Herman Melville's Moby Dick, and he says of the sea, "It is not down on any map. True places never are." And in Dan Beachy Quick's poem of the same name, he reflects on the ocean's vastness and connective properties. Dig this depth of blank deeper. Dig deeper. There's always the moon's hook on still water. Wait in silence for silence to say, write it in, tell me who I am now. When we are in the sea, paddling, swimming, floating, we experience the potential of weightlessness and a feeling of something important flowing around us. Then we notice the ocean's sounds of surf and swell, of the wildlife it supports and how it ebbs and flows with such precision, connecting us to the moon and our position in the universe. Oceans play a major role in our everyday life, even if we are not able to visit our seaside much. They are like the lungs and dream space of our planet and a critical part of the biosphere to which we belong. And on the same page, David has a picture of the fish tank, which is in a children's unit at Salisbury District Hospital, and shows lovely blue sea and lots of seaweed. And he also has a painting called Swimmers by Ivy Smith. Swimmers swimming through a swimming pool. And Ivy's painting looks at energy, gracefulness and buoyancy in relation to swimming, along with unexpected patterns between us and the water. And if you'd like to find out more about World Ocean Day, you can go to www.un.org, Oceans Day. And if you'd like to contribute your poems or reflections or an image for our next edition, contact Artcare at Block 29, Salisbury District Hospital.